Welcome to Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia. This podcast is a collection of messages designed to help you grow in our three anchors of real devotional life, real community, and real responsibility.
We hope that you enjoy this message and that it encourages you in your spiritual growth.
So hey, my name is Blair. I'm on staff with Chi Alpha, and this is my very first time speaking at M&L. I know. I'm so excited to be with you guys tonight. For those of you who don't know me, if I haven't gotten to talk with you yet, to give you a little context, I came to UVA, grew up in Nova. Kala. I knew that would get like a little, okay, sorry. It's okay. My parents have a twin sister, so if they're listening, hi. I don't know, maybe they'll listen to the podcast, we'll see. But I grew up in Nova, came to UVA in the fall of 2012, and became, first of all, was discipled for the first time in Chi Alpha, so learned what it looked like to live a life following Jesus and teaching others to do the same. And then I was also a Middle Eastern studies major. So over those 4 years, when I graduated in 2016, God opened the door to have me work with Chi Alpha. And it has just been, yeah, a joy ever since. So thank you. And another thing, I brought a picture of my Charlottesville family. You know how sometimes people do that where they'll be like, oh, this is my wife and kids. I don't have, or my husband, I guess, and kids. I have housemates. This is Kelsey. You know her. She's back there. This is Allie and Mary. We live on Price, and man, they are just so awesome. So I just want to encourage you guys, if you're a fourth year and you're scared that community ends when you graduate, it does not. So there you go. Great. Well, if you're new tonight, if this is your first time, welcome. We are in a series called Wilderness U, where we're tracking with the Israelites from being delivered out of Egypt, out of slavery in Egypt, moving through the wilderness, and eventually they will end up in the promised land that God has for them. But while they're moving through the wilderness, God is teaching them a bunch of lessons. So we've looked at things like identity, we've looked at dependence, we've looked at supremacy, and tonight we're going to look at another lesson that God teaches Israel. Tonight, as Israel is, we still find them where we found them last time. Not last week, because, you know, go Who's. But last time, we found them at Mount Sinai, where Moses was being given the Ten Commandments, which was basically a contract for the people of God. He wanted to give them these words to say, hey, here's what I got for you. Here's how I want you to live. Make a covenant with me. And so we're still here. We're at Mount Sinai, and God is going to teach his people how to live a balanced life. Tonight, we are taking Balance 101. So God knows that the Israelites are coming out of Egypt. They're coming out of endless toil, endless work, where they're making bricks 7 days a week all the time, constantly having to anxiously produce bricks for Pharaoh. And so God knows this, and he knows that they haven't had a balanced life. He knows that they've only been working, that there has been restlessness. There's been a lack of rest, and he wants to restore to them rest. And so tonight, we are going to look at the fourth commandment, which is Sabbath. This is God's solution for the people of Israel and his solution for us when we have no rest or no balance in our lives. So let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever experienced imbalance? Have you ever been unbalanced? I'm sure you have a bunch of stories that come to mind, because I do too. And one of them that comes to my mind is from my third year. For those of you, I guess probably not a lot of you know, but I was in the Cavalier Marching Band. I think I actually brought pictures of that, too. Did I? Oh, good, yeah. Okay, so I played the baritone, and then we decided to take a prom pic, so I brought that for you guys, too. So I was in band, and one time, this is my third year, it was a game day. We were, like, in the band room, putting on, like, you know, the uniform and stuff. So I, like, had put on the overalls and the jacket and the cape, because we were a cape. And I was bent over like this. I was kind of on like one foot trying to like buckle my shoe a little bit. And I lost my balance and I fell forward. And, what actually, you know, because I didn't catch myself, obviously. So what broke my fall was, my head hitting the back of the metal chair in front of me. And like, I'd never had a concussion before that, but I knew in that moment that I like had a concussion. There was just no doubt in my mind. And so I had just concussed myself, and I was like, oh, no, what do I do? I should have gone home. My Allie, who's here, she's a nurse, she was like, why did you keep going? But I didn't go home and rest. I kept going. And it made it worse, because there was loud music, and there was, like, you know, like, the high stuff. You're like, there's, like, real shock happening to your body, and it's, like, 4 hours, because the games just never end. And I just made it worse. And so it was just miserable and the recovery was awful. And I just didn't, you know, I just didn't feel like myself. Does that make sense? If you've ever had a concussion, you know what I mean? It's like hard to focus. It's hard to, it's even like hard to rest. I don't know how to explain that. Because you just have this constant headache, everything's fuzzy. So man, I just experienced an incredible amount of imbalance in my life. So I don't know if you've ever had a concussion or a sports-related injury. Not yet. Well, anyway. I realized that a marching band is a sport. It is, but that's so, just kind of related the two. That's okay. But yeah, so maybe you've had an injury, or maybe you've experienced something like, I don't know, pulling an all-nighter, or you have like a group presentation that goes really long into the night, or you don't have homework at all, but you're just watching Netflix until the next day, and then you get to class the next day, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't hear a single thing that you're saying because you're not focusing. Everything is like a blur around you. You're like, I hope this is not on the test. That's imbalance. What you're experiencing there is imbalance. Or maybe you've experienced it this way. You've accidentally skipped a meal, and a couple hours later, you're like, why am I so angry? And that's also imbalance. So you all have experienced imbalance, because I know all of you have experienced all those things. So, but there's good news for us tonight. When we experience imbalance, God has a solution. And it's the same solution he presents to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 20. So if you guys would turn with me there in your Bibles, we will read. If you are new to Kyle for new to the Bible, Exodus is the second book of the Old Testament. So it's like really toward the front. It's 68 in my Bible, but that's unhelpful. Gotta laugh. All right, so would you guys pray with me before we read? Jesus, we just approach you tonight with so much gratitude, God, so much joy of what you've already done. We approach you just thankful for our community, thankful for the hub and the different things that you're doing in and through Chi Alpha at UVA. And God, what we ask you to speak to us tonight. We ask you to go before us as we read your word and that things would just jump off the page to us. So we invite your spirit here. Amen. We will pick up in verse 1 of chapter 20. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Let's pause here. So what does God do? The first thing he does is he reminds the Israelites who he is, the Lord their God, and what he's just done, deliver them out of slavery. He knows that the Israelites are coming out of this anxious place of constantly needing to produce in order to be worth something in their society. And he knows that they have no metric, absolutely no metric for rest. And so what God is going to do, he's saying, hey, I'm God. And then he's saying, I've just delivered you out of this context. So God knows this. And maybe, you know, I don't know if they reacted like this, but I can't help but think maybe the Israelites were hoping in this moment that this God could have a better way for them, a better metric. And so we will pick up in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the Sabbath is God's solution. It's his way of restoring balance to Israel because he's going to restore rest to them when they've only experienced work without rest. Does that make sense? He's restoring rest through giving them this commandment of a Sabbath. So as we look at the Sabbath, we're going to actually answer 3 questions about it. First of all, what is it? What is the Sabbath? We'll define it. Second of all, why should we practice a Sabbath? Why does this matter for us right now? And lastly, we're going to look at how to practice the Sabbath. So let's begin with question 1, what is Sabbath? Simply put, Sabbath is a day of rest. It is a day where you, your neighbors, your friends, your classmates will put it aside and you'll step away from your work for a full day and you'll rest. It's a day of rest. Another way you could think about this is Sabbath as resistance. Because the Israelites are being brought out of a context, out of the context of Egypt, and into a new context that God is giving them, God is asking them to resist that old context of constantly working and adopt a new metric that will be 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. So Sabbath is resistance. And the good news is this, that Sabbath, when we choose to take a Sabbath, it will impact our work and our rest. It's not just, you know, it's not a day that's just contained to itself, but when we practice it, when we have a day of rest, we'll notice it in the other 6 days. So that's Sabbath. That's pretty much all I've got on it. That's pretty much what it is. So let's talk about why we should practice the Sabbath. Why does this matter to us right now? God does another really cool thing in as he's sharing this commandment with Moses, with the people of Israel. He says, he starts to remind them about creation. He says, "For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day." So not only is God reminding his people what he's done by delivering them out of Egypt, he's reminding them of the pivotal moment of creation. And so we're going to look at that story tonight. If you guys would turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, we'll start in verse 27. And so basically where we find ourselves in Genesis chapter 1 is God is just going for it. He is creating all sorts of things. He's spent 5 days creating the heavens and the earth and fish and corgis and pineapples and zebras and narwhals, and he's just doing all sorts of fun stuff, creating all over the place. And then we get to day 6, and this is where we pick up. Verse 27, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" Skipping to verse 31. "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." So first, let's talk about what God is doing here. God is creating. Spends 5 days creating the heavens and the earth, the animals, the plants, all the things. He gets to the sixth day, he creates us, and then he gets to the seventh day, and he rests. So we should rest. We should take a Sabbath because we're made in the image of God. We're made in the image of a God who rests. And God, you know, he makes us within this rhythm. He's, you know, 6 days, he works, 1 day he rests. But he's also made us for this rhythm. And I think this shows something. The fact that we're made in the image of a God who rests. I think that when we think of rest, it's a little easy to think about it in terms of trying to fix something that's broken. We know that our bodies are broken. We experience illness. We're tired. We're hungry. All of these things that point to there being brokenness that has entered the world, right? And that's usually, you know, before I knew about Sabbath, that's totally why I rested, just for the need of recovery. But God's not broken like that. God's completely whole. And so when a whole God rests, when we rest, we look more like him. Does that make sense? When we rest, we are reflecting the whole image of God, the image of God that is whole. And so I think that shows us that God's motivation for rest is not one of recovery, but it's one of abundance. That when God rests on the seventh day, he's enjoying the other 6 days of creation that he's already done. He's looking at his finished work and he's saying, "It's good, it's good, it's good, it's good," and then he's enjoying it. Instead of recovery, he's living a balanced, abundant life. And so, let's actually look back at verse 31. There's a detail that I'd like to talk about for a second. Verse 31, "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." So God creates, he creates us in his image, and he creates us on the sixth day. And on the sixth day, he gives us this super awesome purpose. He basically says, "Be fruitful, subdue the earth, make it flourish." In other words, what God is saying to his people is this. He's saying, study astronomy. Become a lawyer. Become a doctor. Be a nurse. Deliver mail. Text a friend and hang out. Encourage them. He's saying, be responsible for the flourishing of the earth around you. And I think man and woman were probably like super jazzed about this. They're like, oh my gosh, this sounds amazing. Like there's all of these wonderful things, created things around us, and we have the responsibility of making this garden into something a little more like a city. And so man and woman, they like go to bed, they're super jazzed, they like don't even have to set an alarm because they're really excited to go to work tomorrow. And they wake up the next morning before their alarm, like I said. Well, I guess they said they didn't set one. So they didn't set an alarm, but they get up, they drink coffee, they like put their work boots on, they get the shovel, right? They like put their textbooks in their backpack, they text a friend about coffee or about lunch plans, and they're like out, they like walk their corgi and they're like out the door. They're so excited. And I picture like they're like walking to the bus stop because they take public transportation, and God is like, hey, like he kind of intercepts it. He's like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, God, we're doing with the thing, like we're going to work. And God, like, he goes a little like chaotic good in the moment, which God's not chaotic, but that's kind of the vibe here. That was for you, Kelsey. But God is a little chaotic in this moment. He's like, no, like not today. Like I have something else for you. And I think man and woman are shocked. Maybe they're probably just happy. But I think they're surprised because what God does is completely different. God creates man and woman with this purpose to work on the sixth day. But the very next day is one of rest. Our first full day of existence was one of resting and not working. If you guys hear nothing else from me tonight, hear this. From the very beginning, God has always invited us into his finished work before we have to work on our own. God invites us to rest in his finished work before we work. And so what do we do? What do they do? God takes them on a walk. He walks them through the garden. He points out like walnut trees and zebras. He's like really excited about the zebras because that's a cool pattern. And he's showing them all of these cool, amazing, wonderful things that he's created. And they're just enjoying their time together. They're talking and they're laughing and they're dreaming together and they're resting. God's enjoying man and woman. They're enjoying God. And they're just resting together. And God says this again, this time when he's with the Israelites at Mount Sinai, where we're with them tonight. He says it again, the very same thing. God, when he introduces himself, when he says, I'm the Lord your God who's brought you out of slavery in Egypt, what he's saying is this, rest in my deliverance before you have to do any of these commandments, before you're obedient to any of them at all, I've brought you into the wilderness so you could rest. I've already done the work of deliverance. Please rest in it. And God says it again. God says it again. What he said in the garden, what he said at Mount Sinai, he says again in the person of Jesus. So generations later, Israelites meet this man named Jesus. And he's God in the flesh. He's the Messiah. He's the one who came to take away our sin, to take away the brokenness, the things that make us work without end, the things that convince us that we need work without rest in order to prove ourselves or to be something. Jesus is the one who dies for us on the cross to take that away, to restore our rest, to restore our balance to us. And it's really cool. In the book of Matthew, Jesus actually says this. He voices this to his followers. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. The same thing shared in the garden and by the mountain, Jesus says to us today. Come and rest and it won't be heavy. It won't fit you poorly. It'll fit perfectly, actually. The work will be easy. You can rest well. You don't have to strive anymore. This is what Jesus is saying to us. And in fact, we are celebrating the Holy Week this week. We are looking forward to Friday, where Jesus dies for our sins, and Sunday, where he's resurrected in victory. And what's really awesome is the gospel writer, John, he talks about when he's writing his account of what happens on the cross, he says this, that when Jesus was about to breathe his last, he says the words, "It is finished." On the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished." And so the words that are whispered in the garden, written at Sinai, these same words are shouted on the cross, "It is finished." We don't strive anymore with Jesus. He's done the work we couldn't so that we could have rest, not only here on earth, but eternally as well. So in fact, he is our rest. And I think that this means that when we practice a weekly Sabbath, we're giving ourselves a tangible reminder of that fact, that God is inviting us into his finished work. We don't have to strive. We can take a day where we step away from the work that we have to do and just remember. We remember the joy of creation, what God has created, and the environment, the physical environment that he's put us into. We remember his deliverance, the things that he's done in our lives, how he's taken us from being a bunch of punks to being like not as much punks anymore. You know, it's a process. But we take that time to remember, and we take that time to rest in the finished work of Jesus. And the Sabbath is a weekly invitation to that. It's a weekly reminder. It's a reminder not only for your body to rest and recover, even though that is part of it, that's a good part of it. I hope you sleep in on your Sabbath. But it's a time to recover your soul as well. To remember the point. Jesus has already done the work for us. And I think that when we look at the Sabbath in these terms, there's just not a good enough reason to not do it. That if we think we can accomplish more in 7 days than God could through us in 6, I think that might just be pride or fear. That we're either scared he won't do it, or we just believe that we can, you know? And I just don't think that those are good enough reasons. I think what God has for you is way more, is way bigger than that. I think it's abundance and balance. I think it's remembering that he's created you with a wonderful purpose, and it does involve work. Six days is a lot. Like, he does really want you guys to work, but he wants you to do it out of a place of resting first, resting in the things that he's already done, and resting with the confidence that when you do work, your identity won't be, like, that won't define your identity. And when you work from that place of it not defining your identity, I think you'll notice you're more productive. There's more freedom. There's more freedom to fail. There's more freedom to just grow gradually. There is freedom when our identity isn't in our work, but it's in the finished work of Jesus. And so the Sabbath is our reminder of that. We don't have to anxiously strive, or rather we have a day of rest. And so maybe you're thinking, like, okay, that's fine. Sounds good, but like, what does that actually look like? Let's spend some time talking about how to actually practice a Sabbath. Does that sound good? You still with me? We all Gucci? Okay. Sorry, yeah, that's fine. This might be kind of a letdown, but it also might be good news to you. I don't know. I can really only tell you right now a couple like helpful tips. And I can tell you what my Sabbath looks like, but really, you guys are going to have to figure it out for yourselves. I think that's like one of the most beautiful parts about Sabbath, because it's about your personal relationship with Jesus, right? What gives you rest? What leaves you like feeling rested, feeling, yeah, I guess, re-energized, restored? And then what is work to you? I think it could look different for all of us. And so I would love to share with you guys what my Sabbath looks like. But I would also love to encourage you, talk to a friend or a core group leader, ask them what they do. Talk to anyone on staff. I'm sure all of us have very different looking Sabbaths. So we love talking about it, and we would love to share, like, bounce ideas with you, share even more. So how do we practice a Sabbath? I remember my third year. This was the first time in my third year, back to like the marching band situation. This was the first time I really reevaluated how I rested, if that makes sense. I realized I was only resting out of a place of needing recovery and that that wasn't actually very restorative at all. So I started to kind of build the practice of this Sabbath and had kind of a few different elements to it. And so my Sabbath typically looks like this. I'll sleep in a little bit, but not too much because I actually really like the morning time. So I get up kind of early, not as early as the other 6 days, but still kind of early. And I make a cup of coffee, or you could do tea. That's okay too. But I make coffee. And I make breakfast, and then I just enjoy some extravagant time with the Lord. It's because I have the time, because I don't have to go to work. I spend a lot more time with the Lord. So I like to read the scriptures. I like to read, whatever book I would be reading. I like to do some listening prayer and see if there's anything the Lord would want to say to me on my Sabbath. Just journal some prayers. I'm not really a journaler, and so Sabbath is a day where I try to journal. I like to pray through the Psalms, pray in the Spirit, play some worship music, just hang out with God. And then I like to go outside. It's tough in the winter because I don't really want to be outside, but you still kind of go anyway. But it's a lot nicer now, like you were saying, Sarah, with everything blooming. So I like to go on walks through grounds or the reservoir, whatever it would be. And then I like to spend time with people. Some of you in this room right now are like, oh my gosh, she spends the whole day alone. No, why? But it's because I'm an introvert. And so that's actually really great for me. I really like it. But if you're an extrovert, maybe you spend some time alone, but then a lot more time with your friends. That's cool too. So I do like to spend time with people on my Sabbath. Typically, it pretty much always revolves around food. So just cooking with people, getting a meal. Yeah, it's so great. Sabbath is meant for good food. You should write that down. People are too. Okay. So yeah, so that's what my Sabbath looks like. A couple of things that I don't do on my Sabbath that I've just figured out over some time is I don't go on social media. Personally, whenever I'm on social media for a long time, I just don't feel rested. I feel more anxious and my worth is not in Jesus, and man, it's hard. So I've decided that's not something I'm going to do on my Sabbath. And another thing is I try to, I don't actually really don't do this very often, but I really try to because I like it a lot, is just turn off my phone. I think it's very rare that we feel like we can step away from our phones. And because of that, I think we're even more connected to work, if that makes sense. My email is in my pocket. I can answer at any moment. And so it's really, really hard for me to disconnect when my phone is on. So I like to turn it off, put it away for a few hours, and then, just hang out, see what happens. So I'd recommend it. You don't have to do that. That's what works for me. But think about your use of technology on your Sabbath. I will say that. Think about what it could look like for you. So that is my Sabbath, I have a couple helpful things that were helpful to me. I hope they'll be helpful to you, but just some tips. So firstly, I would say just pick a time. When you're looking to practice the Sabbath, the first thing you have to do is pick a time. Put it in your calendar. You will be way more likely to stick to it. So for me, it's one day of the weekend, just sun up to sundown. Just a full day, depending on the weekend, it'd be Saturday or Sunday, whatever it would be, a full day of the weekend. But maybe for you, it's Friday night, hang out with friends, and then Saturday night, okay, maybe you go to the library, and that's the end of your Sabbath. You study and do all that stuff. Just pick something that works for your schedule, your rhythm. It doesn't have to be all of Saturday or all of Sunday, but it could be an afternoon to an afternoon, or if starting with a full day is something that's intimidating to you, I would say just start where you can. Start with a half day, do half day on Saturday, and build up to a full day. So pick a time and stick to it. And then secondly, a framework that I've heard that's been helpful for me is thinking through praying and playing. So on your Sabbath, you want to pray, spend time with God, do that, and you want to play. I'm not saying that when you're playing, you're not spending time with God, but I am saying that might be different activities that fall under that category. So you want to pray and you want to play. To read scripture, pray. If you're somebody who nature is something that really connects you with God, do that. If you're Christine, you have an amazing voice. You sing songs to the Lord. I can't even see you. But yeah, play music if that is something that connects you to God. Write poetry. Do something that you really feel like you are communing with God. And that'll look different for all of us. So just figure out what that is for you. And then playing. So again, this is the point where you guys really have to be honest with yourselves about what is restful to you and what is rest to you, what is work to you. So for instance, some of those things might be really clear cut. You're all students, right? So homework is definitely work. Studying, also work. So when you're Sabbathing, those are the things that you should, that's like the first things to go. Like just, you don't have to worry about that on your Sabbath. But then maybe there's other things. Like, I don't know, maybe like running is really, it's like work for you. I know, it's work for me too. I've tried to pretend that it's not, but it is. But maybe it's restful to you. Maybe you're like, oh, I'll just go on like light jog and it'll be restful. And that's great. Like, do it. If it's restful to you, if it restores your soul, makes you feel like you can reflect in the finished work of God, like totally do it. Maybe you want like cooking. Like maybe that's not restful to you, but maybe it is restful to your housemate. I don't know. Then they can cook and you can eat and it'll be awesome. Yeah, it's really, really symbiotic. Really all I'm trying to say is just figure out what works for you. Be honest with yourself. It's okay if it doesn't look like your housemate or your core group or your friends. It's okay. You got to figure it out. It's not about the law. Like I said, when the Israelites heard this commandment, it wasn't something that they looked at and they just thought, oh no, like this is another thing to do or another thing to be obedient to. Even though they did want to be obedient, and so do we, the Israelites actually heard this and probably felt immense relief. God, by giving them the Sabbath commandment, he had lifted a burden off of them. He said, we're not going to strive anymore, and you're going to work out of a place of freedom, out of a place of rest. And that is what our Sabbath is. It's taking a day to rest so we can live into that freedom and work from that same place. And so, as we move toward closing, I would like to take some time to imagine for a second what it would look like if all of us practiced the Sabbath. Think about it. If every one of us in this room took a day to rest and to reflect on the finished work of God, what would our relationships look like? How much peace would we be bringing into our classrooms instead of anxiety? What are the ways that we could love our neighbors better when we're loving them out of this place of being refreshed and refilled and balanced? What could our UVA culture look like? By the testimony of your Sabbath, what you're saying is my God is worth taking a break for. He is worth resting in. And he's the only one who could finish the work that needed to be finished for me to get here. Does that make sense? So what would it look like in your sphere of influence if you took a Sabbath? What's the story you would be telling through your life? What are the ways that you would be pointing to God's goodness, to the reality of his creation, to the ways he's created us to live in this unforced rhythm of grace? What would it look like? So, and band, you can go ahead and come up now. So as they come up, I have a couple more questions for three groups of people in the room. So first of all, for those of you who don't practice the Sabbath, I'd like to invite you tonight to make the commitment to practice one this week. Pick a day, pick a time, and have a Sabbath. Just see what happens. Try it once. You don't even have to make like the long-term commitment here. But if you don't practice the Sabbath, I want to invite you tonight to do it. For those of you in the room who do practice the Sabbath, I'd like for you guys to take a couple minutes tonight to reflect on your motivation. Has it been needing to rest out of recovery, or has it been resting through this framework of abundance or balance, of remembering the Lord's creation and remembering his deliverance? Be honest about where you see yourself tonight and what kind of rest you'd want to seek from the Lord. And lastly, for those of you in the room who have never found your rest in Jesus, I'd like to invite you to do that tonight. The invitation that Jesus has in the book of Matthew when he says, come to me, be released from your burdens. My work won't fit you poorly. When Jesus is saying this to his followers, he's also, this is the same invitation he has for you. Come to me and I'll give you rest. And that rest is going to impact not just the 7 days, but it's going to impact everything. And that's his invitation for you to move into trusting him tonight, into resting in him, and for you to be able to trust that God is not going to judge you based on the works that you're doing, based on your grades or the internship you get or what's on your resume, but he's going to judge you based on the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And this is good news. This is what we rest in tonight. And so if this is you tonight and you're thinking about what it could look like to put your rest, to find your rest in Jesus for the first time, I'd like for you to just take a minute and breathe. Just take a minute and think. Think about where you're finding your rest right now. And think about if it's working, if it's restoring balance to you, if it's helping at all. And I'd invite you tonight to put your trust into Jesus. Would you talk with a core group leader? Would you talk with a friend who brought you? And ask them what this could look like. Ask them what it looks like for them. Go on this journey because it's worth it. Jesus invites all of us to rest tonight. And you guys can go ahead and stand with me. As we pray, I would like to read an image over us. It's a promise that Jesus has in the book of Isaiah. Well, God has, Holy Spirit, Trinity, it's all three of them. But it's a promise that God has for us in the book of Isaiah of what it could look like if we faithfully practice the Sabbath and trust that the work has been finished and that we just get to rest. We get to rest, and that'll impact every area of our lives. So let's pray. Lord, your word says that if we keep our feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as we please on your holy day, if we are willing to call your Sabbath a delight and honorable, and if we honor it not by going our own way, but by going your way, God, you promise that we'll find our joy in you and that you will cause us to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father, Jacob. God, we do trust your promises. We trust that when we choose to surrender the seventh day to you, you're just going to do so much with it, God. You're going to remind us how you created us, how you've delivered us. And God, you're going to cause us to ride in triumph and joy, to see beautiful, amazing things and things that are far, far, far beyond what we can ask or imagine. So God, remind us of the finished work you've done this week on the cross. Remind us that we don't strive anymore, that we can work out of a place in confidence. God, that we can feel balanced and steadfast when we put our trust in you. Holy Spirit, would you give each of us an image tonight of what that could look like? Would you give us points of action? Would you give us individual invitations of what our Sabbaths could look like? Lord, we say you are faithful. We say you are kind. Would you work and move tonight? Amen. Jesus, we do say that you're a love like no other. God, that when you come into the room, when you spend time with us, when you speak, God, everything changes. There is rest unlike anything we've ever seen. There's hope unlike anything we've ever known, God. So we say, would you be our rest tonight, Jesus? Lord, would you show us your goodness this week? Would you show us your loving kindness this week? And be faithful to us as we Sabbath. Lord, we trust you. We don't want to go our own way. God, we want to go your way. And so we surrender to you tonight. We ask that you would make this invitation to us to come rest in your finished work. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. For the benediction, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his countenance toward you and give you peace, Sabbath rest. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to the Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia podcast. For more information, you can visit our website, xaatuva.com.